Welcome to the Garmia Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things, and it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at garmiabaptist.org.au.
The Bible reading for tonight comes from Ephesians 1, 3 to 14, which is titled Praise for Spiritual Blessings in Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him, who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory.
Thanks, Michael. Good evening, everybody. It's good to have you here tonight. As we do launch the year in some regards, the ministry year kind of gets going now. As youth and kids and all those sort of things start going back, a lot of our life groups go back as well. And lots of stuff is happening kind of in the church world as in yours as well. And we're launching our theme for the year. And our theme this year is actually our vision as a church. So that makes it easy to hopefully remember. And that is lives changed by Jesus. Ultimately, what we hope to see, the vision that we have, is that people's lives, families' lives, communities' lives would be changed by Jesus. And so we want to be focused on that over the course of this year. There's a handful of things that we're planning to do to kind of help us focus our attention on that. But I'm hopeful that it will be helpful for all of us, regardless of where we are in our journey of faith. For those of you, us who are beginning our journey, who are kind of asking some questions, reconnecting with faith, trying to figure out what we own of our own faith, all of those sorts of questions, I would hope that this will encourage us to be considering the areas and the places where transformation begins. And for those of us who have been following Jesus for a long time, I hope that it challenges any sense of complacency that we might have, that challenges us to continue to allow ourselves to be continually transformed. Because the transformation that comes in Jesus is not something that just happens once in the past. It's something that hopefully continues throughout our entire lives. So that's kind of our focus. So hopefully it kind of fits wherever you might find yourself. And I want to begin this week, as we kind of launch a series that's going to take us through the term, with one of the characteristics that I think is kind of a sign of a life that's been changed. And that is a deepening commitment to the mission of God, to God's purposes and plans in the world. This is something that I reflect on quite a bit. If you've been around for a while, you've probably heard me reflect on the words that are over our door as you leave. They're words from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23, when Jesus sends his disciples. He basically says, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And I was tempted to use that passage again. For those of you who are relatively new to our community of faith, you'll eventually hear me preach on it because I do often, but I thought as a gift to the community of faith that I'd start someplace else tonight. And so we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 1. And you heard that long list of blessings that we've received, right? Michael read out the heading, praise for spiritual blessings in Christ, which feels like a bit of an undersell given what he goes on to talk about. Did you hear the list of things? I mean, let me just remind you of a couple of the things that we are told that we have received in Christ. Beginning with blessings from God our Father, but not just any blessings, every spiritual blessing. God has not held back any. He hasn't said, well, here's one for you and one for you and one for you. No. We have all received every spiritual blessing from God. He talks a little bit later on about how we've been chosen before the creation of the world, that in love, he predestined us to be adopted into his family, to be part of God's family. He talks about redemption. Redemption has to do with kind of buying back or restoring things that have been sold or lost or broken. It's the fixing of things that need to be redeemed and bought back. We've forgiveness. So the debts that we may have had between us and God have been taken away. The blame that we had held before God has been taken away. He talks about the fact that he has made known to us the mystery of his will. Just think about that for a moment. That in Christ, God has made known to us the mystery of his will, which is not, the word mystery is not a, you know, some sort of riddle or enigma. It's basically, it's that which was waiting to be revealed. God has revealed his plans to you and I. Just think about that for a moment. And then the heading is, you know, praise for spiritual blessings in Christ. A bit of an undersell, if you follow me on this one. And the question, I suppose, that I want to pose for us to talk a bit about God's purpose is this. Why did God do that? Why did God do all that? Why is it that he redeemed us? Why is it that he gave us the Holy Spirit? Why is it that he chose us to be adopted into his family? Why is it that he has lavished his grace upon us? Like, what's going on there? And I think the passage gives us at least two answers to that. The first is, shall we say, God does that stuff because that's kind of what God does, right? We know people and we kind of introduce people and we describe people by the things that they do, right? I might say, you know, oh, my mate, he's this tall or wears glasses or has blonde hair, whatever the case might be. But often if I'm telling you about a dear friend of mine, I'm going to tell you more than about the way they look, aren't I? I'm going to demonstrate their character, who they are, with the things that they do. Well, the same thing is true for God. So is it that surprising that a God who is love chooses in love to do something for us? Is it that surprising that a God who is so generous would lavish his grace upon us? Is it that surprising that a God who wants to redeem and restore would, well, redeem and restore? That a God who is so keen for relationship with us that he would forgive us? Like, it kind of just comes out of who God is, isn't it? God does this stuff because this is God. And that's an important place for us to start, an important place for us to reflect. I think another kind of component of what God does for us is linked to, shall we say, what God gets out of it. Right? There's a couple of places where it speaks about the praise of his glory. In other words, there's things that God does, and part of the reason that God does them is because it's who he is, and part of it is to draw attention to himself. Oh, we've all done that, haven't we? Tried to do something to draw attention to ourselves, usually in a good sense. Sometimes it goes horribly wrong, but often, right, we're trying to look good, sound smart, whatever the case might be. We're hoping to get more business, make another friend, help, get somebody to help us, whatever it might be, right? Get someone to like us. Well, God, to some degree, also does things to draw attention to himself. But unlike us, where we can often make it very manipulative and it becomes a source of, you know, arrogance and pride and all of those sorts of things, God does it essentially to draw attention to his love and his grace and his generosity and his kindness and his mercy and his forgiveness and his redemption, so that people will see what God does and go, wow, for the praise of his glory, right? And I think that's a really helpful thing to keep in mind, that while God loves us and is gracious to us and is generous to us because that's who he is, he does have something else going on. He does have something else going on. I was trying to think about it during the week, because it felt to me like there were kind of two parts. There's the kind of the bit about, you know, God doing things because of who he is. And then there's the second reason why God has done all this stuff. And that is because he actually has a purpose in doing it. He saved people, forgave them, redeemed them, adopted them, chose them, gave them the Holy Spirit in order that he might accomplish something. I began to think about it as kind of two sides of one coin, but that felt not quite right. And so the image that I have kind of been kind of playing with is the idea of a hinge. You know how hinges work? Some of you are nodding. I had to look it up. No, you know how hinges work, right? There's two parts to a hinge, the bit you kind of screw into the door jamb and the part that you put on the door, right? And they're connected through what I learned is a knuckle, right? And a pin drives through it to hold the two bits together, right? And the reason why I like the image of kind of the two parts of one thing is that there's always a purpose to the hinge, right? It's to open and close a door. It's to be able to set a room off or a house off or open the room or the house up. There's a purpose to it. Nobody hangs a hinge on the door jamb and then shows you the hinge. It says, look at that hinge. It's fantastic, very coppery. I screwed it in myself. Look at this, it flips out and back. Right? The whole purpose of the hinge is that something gets done. And so while God's love for us and his generosity towards us and his forgiveness of us is, shall we say, just something that comes right out of who he is, there's also this purpose. He actually has a purpose and a plan for that. He has saved us for a reason. We actually find it expressed a bit in this. Not only has he chosen and preordained and worked things out for his plan, he's revealed his plans in Jesus, he's done all of these sorts of things. But if you have a look in the next section, if you have your Bibles with you in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul talks a little bit more about what these blessings have meant for him. And I just want to read the section to you from verse 15. And I want to draw your attention to two things. I want to draw your attention to the language of continuing development, and I want to draw your attention to how it ends. So have a listen. He says, for this reason, so the reason of all the stuff that God has done, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same that he raised Christ, the exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. You hear the language of ongoing development. I want you to know God better. I want you to understand his love more fully. I want you to grasp his power. Here's how it ends. And God placed all things under Jesus's feet and appointed Jesus to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. There's the purpose. God saved you and I in part because that's who he is, and in part to draw attention to himself for the praise of his glory, but he has also done it in order to establish the church. In chapter 2, he actually goes on to explain the church in terms of what God's intent was. In chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, he says this, his intent, God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The church, the gathering of people like this, God's intent in bringing us together, in establishing us, is that the body of Christ might be revealed to the world, that Jesus might continue his work, and that we might be a declaration in the cosmic sense of God's wonderful, amazing wisdom in doing it. It's pretty big. We have not just been saved to be saved. We've been saved for a purpose. And that shapes the way we respond to that. You've perhaps heard stories of people who have had a near-death experience, or people who, kind of against all odds, almost miraculously have managed to avoid dying. And while there's lots that I'm sure that can be said for those who have experienced that, one of the ways that that's often spoken about is that I avoided death and there is something for me to do. I was trying to think of a good example. I'm not sure if I've come up with one or not, but for those of you who have read the Harry Potter stories or seen the movies, right? I'm going to try not to ruin the ending for you, but here it is. Harry Potter, in the opening scenes, is saved. Now, he is saved by the love of his mother. Sorry to ruin that. I think that shows up in book 5. He's ruined by the love of his mother. Saved by the love of his mother, right? But the drama of the entire series is driven by what he has been saved for. And the question becomes, will he fulfill his destiny? Will he actually be able to topple Voldemort, or he who shall not be named, whatever the case might be? Not a great example when we're talking about what Jesus has done for us, but you follow me on this? The whole narrative, like the reason why people kept reading it is not only because it was well written, but because the question was, this boy who has been saved, the boy who lived, has been saved for a purpose, will he accomplish it? It would have been a much shorter book if all Harry Potter had said is, I'm really thankful to Mum. Should he have been thankful? Yeah, yeah. It's a big sacrifice for Mum. But do you follow me on this one? He was saved for something. And nearly everything that he did after that was wrapped around that destiny. If that's true in a fantasy novel, how much more so for us? We, in love, have been chosen by God before the creation of the world to be adopted into his family. In him, we've been redeemed, bought back, restored, forgiven. In him, we have insight into what God is doing in the world. We've been given the Holy Spirit as a down payment of the certainty of the inheritance that is to come. And it just goes on and on and on. And that is not just so that we can sit there and say, I'm really thankful for that. Although we should be. It's to say you've been saved for something. Each of us have been saved for something. And it's to participate in God's plans and purposes in the world. The way we talk about it here, God's plan is ultimately to restore and renew everything in Jesus. That's his plan. And that's what we've been saved for. Which then begs the question, so what? Well, here's how I'd like to land it. I mentioned at the top that, you know, when we were thinking about this series and lives changed by Jesus, I was kind of thinking about, you know, the various places where we might find ourselves in our journey of faith. And I think whether you are starting out, you know, whether you're just exploring faith or whether you've made some decisions about faith, but you still feel fairly young in that space, whether you've been following Jesus for decades, I think ultimately the application point is the same for all of us. I've used this phrase before. I think the last time I used it, I described it as my favorite Latin phrase, and then immediately corrected myself because it's my only Latin phrase. So it seemed a little bit of a big sell, kind of like this heading. But nonetheless, it's a solvitur ambulando, and it translates as it is solved by walking. And what it means is, and what it points at, is that sometimes the only way to really figure something out is to have a crack, right? For those of you who have, you know, recently gotten your driver's license, right? You can only read so much. Ultimately, to get your driver's license, both legally and in just common sense, it is solved, well, ironically not by walking, but by driving, right? You have to get a certain number of hours, first of all, but that's how you learn to do it. There are so many things in our lives that we learn by doing. Yeah, you might get the theory, you might do some reading, you might do some reflection, but you do it, And as you do it, you figure it out. Can I suggest that when it comes to following Jesus, Salvator Ambulando is an excellent way forward? If you are exploring faith, you are not just trying to come to grips with an idea and trying to figure out that if you believe it or you don't. You are also grappling with and being invited into God's purposes in the world. So you want to know whether you believe it. You want to know how it really kind of sinks into your life. Salvator Ambulando. Begin to walk it. Be generous to those around you. Be forgiving of those who hurt you. Be someone who seeks to redeem and restore what you see around you. Try to be loving, not because generosity and love and mercy and kindness are just nice things, but because they're the things that God has expressed towards us and invites us into. Well, start walking it out. And that's not only true if you're just beginning to explore, it's equally true if you've been following Jesus for a long time. If you have, we all have close friends, family members who we want to succeed. And so one of the things that we'll often say to someone, a close friend or a family member who's trying to do something, and we might not say it quite this way, but essentially, how can I help? Right? Can I help you in this? And sometimes all we can do is support them, right? I won't ask for a show of hands, but I'm sure you've all gone to watch a game, watch a recital, just kind of be in the crowd to support a friend, to support a family member. That's all you can do. You can't help them remember their lines. You can't help them with the tricky piano piece on page 7. You can't help them score the goal or stop the goal, but you can be there to support them. And sometimes we have an opportunity to do more than that, right? And it feels like it's something that's intrinsic and kind of connected and natural in our relationships. How can I help? I want you to succeed. I want you to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. Well, that's true with our relationships with family and friends. I'd like to suggest that it could also be true of our relationship with God. That if there's any sense, for us, that we understand what God has done for us. Any commitment to being a part of his purposes, that perhaps one of our first prayers every morning ought to be, good morning, Lord. You got a big plan to restore and renew all things. How can I help? Because I want you to succeed. That might not feel like the right prayer to pray, but you follow me on this? And it's not as if our help is what God has been desperately waiting for, that's going to kind of put him over the top and kind of finally succeed, but that's what we're called to. Lord, you want to restore and renew all things. How can I help? Because that's why you saved me. You didn't just save me to save me. You didn't just rescue me so that I could be thankful, although I am. You saved me for something. And I believe that this then becomes a primary, fundamental, essential component of what it means for our lives to continually be transformed by Jesus. It's what Paul has to say about knowing him better, about our eyes being opened so that we understand more fully his plans and purposes, understanding his power, the riches of his grace, kind of getting what it is that God is on about so that we can continue to commit to participating with him. And a lot of what we're going to be talking about in the weeks to come kind of flow from that fundamental idea that we have been saved for something. We've been saved to be part of God's purposes. So next week, we're going to look at a second characteristic. A second characteristic of a life changed by Jesus, and that is a deepening love for the body of Christ. Can you see the connection? We've been saved into this. The rescue that God has brought about is so that the church can be established. So we ought to be growing in our commitment to and love for the body of Christ. Okay, what does that look like? We're going to look at a deepening appreciation and delight in Scripture. Well, why is that? Well, it's not just because you should read the Bible more. It's because this tells us who God is and what he's on about it and what he wants. about what he's seeking to do and how he does it. Commitment to prayer, again, to be prayerful for the things that God is doing in our lives and those around us. Attentiveness to the Holy Spirit, a willingness to build and develop those around. Like it's all connected to understanding that we have been saved for something, for a purpose. So I want to encourage you, to some degree, this is a sermon that has 8 application points, but you have to come back for the next 8 weeks for them. Now, the idea that we have been saved for something will kind of be expressed over the next number of weeks as we explore some of these characteristics. I think one of the challenges, if I can just kind of finish with this, one of the challenges I think we often face, at least in the West, is we're not very good at just sticking to something. And I think that's true in the church too. Maybe you've had this experience. You go to church and you hear the sermon, you go, that's great. I got to work on that. That's really important. And then you go to your life group and you do a different Bible study. You're like, that's really good. I should do more of that. And then you're reading the Bible the next day. You're like, oh yeah, I should do that more. What happens after the end of the week? You've been told all sorts of things you should do and you have done none of them because you're just being reminded of the next thing to do. There's a famous book. It's probably one of the most influential Christian books of all time. It was called The Imitation of Christ by a fellow named Thomas A. Kempis. He was a monk writing a little bit about what he thought about what it looked like to follow Jesus, albeit in a very different context than us. And one of the things he points out in one of his chapters, they're very short little chapters, is essentially that, you know what? If every believer just took one virtue and focused on it for a year, we would grow a lot. But we tend to be really distracted. So I kind of share that. Because over the next 8 weeks, hopefully you'll be hearing stuff every week where you be kind of going, I should do that. I should love the church more. I should delight in the Bible more. I should pray more, right? And you probably should. We all probably should, right? Fine. Can I ask you to be prayerful that the Holy Spirit would indicate to you the one thing that he would like you to learn this year? And then set yourself to that task. Listen to it all, but be listening for the voice, the invitation of the Spirit to be focusing on that one thing, so that together we might continue to see our lives changed by Jesus. I'm going to invite the team up. I'm going to finish. We're going to conclude our service in worship. But just as they're coming up, just a couple of things to let you know about. If you are in a life group, and we encourage you to be in a life group, life groups for us are a couple of the ways that we achieve what we hope to as a church. That is to help people find their place in God's family so that you belong and to find your place in God's mission. So if you're not in a life group, we'd love to get you in a life group. Nicole Jones is here tonight, back from her extensive travels. The whole Jones family is here, I think, actually, so I shouldn't just pick on her, but she oversees for us our life group, so you just want to wave. Yeah, she doesn't really want to, but she did. Thank you, Nicole. She's the person to talk to about getting involved in life groups. But life group material, we will be producing them with this series. So if you're leading a life group or in a life group, this would be something hopefully that you'll pick up over the next little while. And alongside of that, we're also kind of starting up the Big Three again. The Big Three is a midweek podcast, which is a bit of a companion podcast to the sermon. On Wednesday mornings, I'll sit down and engage with 3 questions that are raised by the congregations from Sunday. If you click on the QR code, or any of the QR codes, and go to Linktree, you can scroll down till you find the Big Three. Click on that. Take you to an app called Slido, where you can enter your own question, and I know that there are already 2 questions there, or were before I checked, that have already been asked, and you might see those questions and think, that's the question that I wanted to ask, and you can upvote it. And then on Wednesday, I sit down and try to grapple with some of those questions. There is a question in there already about predestination. So if you'd like to go and upvote that one, I figured that would be a bit of a hot topic. As soon as I picked this passage, I thought, I know one of the questions I'm answering on Wednesday. So that's happening as well. So really looking forward to getting back into those regular routines of life groups and the Big Three and all of those sorts of things. But let me pray for us before we are led in our last song tonight. Lord Jesus, thank you for all you have done in saving us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and grace and generosity, for your forgiveness and your redemption, for the gift of your Holy Spirit, for being brought into your family, for your choosing us to be holy and blameless, for all that you have done for us and for placing us in the church. We thank you for all of that. But I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you might be speaking and leading each one of us into a deeper understanding and appreciation of having been saved for a purpose, and that you have rescued us in order that we might join in with you, and that we might both be people who are learning from you and growing deeper in understanding of you, but also doing whatever we can to participate with you, to help you succeed in your plans and purposes. And we know that you will. We know that your commitment to your promises and your plans is complete, and that you won't stop until it is done. But in the meantime, if there are ways that we can assist and participate to be generous and forgiving, restoring, and all those things, we pray that you would lead us in that space. And as we wrap our service up now, just pray that as we reflect on on every context where we can praise you and bless your name, that you might speak to us through your Spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement, and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are the Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life, and pray that God blesses you today.